There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to be, I've been home the whole time, but it's felt like I've been elsewhere. It's strange, right? So we had a situation, April Marie filling in for Jeff Poore today. So she's with the station in Montgomery. I was filling in this morning for the majority of the morning on WVNN up in Huntsville. Now I'm here to do this show at home in Mobile. It's good. It's good. Just cross-pollination thing happening. All right. Coming up on Midday Mobile today, a lot to do. And yes, it is Earth Day, and we will talk some common sense recycling coming up in a little while. Yeah, that's this idea, once again, you know my frustration with the binary way that the world is looked at. Either, you know, if you question one thing about former President Trump, then you were anti-Trump, right? And if you said a positive thing about something else, then you must be all in for that group or whatever. And on the environmental side, I think it's the conversation has been made, and only because I guess we let it get made that way, has been set up as a completely us versus them situation, which I don't think it's smart. I really don't. I think that's a big miss as you look at the situation out there. Piecemeal for environmentalism, okay? Because everything is not anthropogenic global warming. That's where I think the biggest debates come in. But in the meantime, people look right past questions about water quality. You know, you had the story coming out, the Mobile River, one of the, I think, the top three most threatened in the United States. I will say that that is very specific to the question of coal ash. And I think it's not fair. And I know the TV news was reporting last night that, you know, it's, and they did say because of coal ash, but giving the idea that the entire system is messed up. And it's the reason they call the Mobile River a in danger river is because of this question about the coal ash. But that hasn't happened, right? So you got to kind of work your way through that. So air quality and water quality and all these things that are important, this idea that on Earth Day, that if you are a conservative, then you're anti anything that comes out for Earth Day. That's, you put in some grade school parlance. That's silly. Coming up, speaking of Earth Day, joining us here in just a few minutes, Commissioner with DCNR, Chris Blankenship, is going to talk about Forever Wild and some political maneuvering to get money to counties. We'll talk with Tom Rouse coming up in hour number two about some recycling, some common sense recycling, some innovative thinking there. Plus, Dale Leash from LandNap joins us around 12:35. So lots coming up on Midday Mobile for today. Tell you what, run to the news here in just a second and get ready because I want to have some time before Dale Leash gets on. I mean, there's no issue with Dale Leash. I'm happy he's coming on, but I want to have a little time before we get Dale Leash on to talk to Chris Blankenship here on the show. So let's do that. We'll go to the news and be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you here on this Earth Day. And it makes sense on this Earth Day. Joined by the Commissioner of Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. Good to get him back on the show. Homeboy, even though he's for the whole state, he's one of us, Mobile County guy, Chris Blankenship. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me today, Sean.
You're back in the neighborhood today. What was it? You're heading from the bayou. What did you have going on down the bayou?
We had the governor in town this morning for the ribbon cutting on the new Lightning Point project at the mouth of Bayou Labatry, you know, which is that big restoration project where they brought in tens of thousands of cubic yards of material and built a breakwater and got some new plants that'll protect the mouth of Isla Battery, and got a new boat ramp and a new fishing pier down here. So it's a it was a great day to have the governor in town, and always good to get her to South Mobile County.
Yeah, that the launch at the Bayou is a big thing, and we'll have to talk about that on another show, maybe the outdoor show one day. But as things are so crowded at, you know, Billy Goat Hole and Little Billy Goat Hole, I mean, if you're going offshore, even if you're fishing Mississippi Sound, I mean, go to the Bayou and launch.
Yeah, I was, you know, for a long time when I lived in Mobile, I was launching at Isla Battery on the old junky ramps here
yep.
to go out the West End and catch some fish, and it was just so dangerous. I was, you know, and not good for the public, so appreciate the governor pitching in $250,000 from Gomesa to do the ramp we have there now, and the next phase of this project is going to make that even better with bigger ramps and at different angles, and so anyway, that's a story for another day.
It is.
We can catch up with.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk about the, you know, Go Mesa money and what happened in the legislature this year, and more Go Mesa money staying right here at home. But I do want to talk about a bill, and when I saw this come up, I think it was maybe I saw something on Allison on the state side, and then I saw some conversation in Alabama Daily News with Todd Stacey. And I've told you before, when I see the words Forever Wild come up and it comes up in politics, I start to get worried because I sure love that program. But this was a question about revenue, right? And counties here, this House bill that had been brought up, 463. Can you explain what the House bill wanted and kind of what your solution to this was for these counties?
So we had a couple of different bills that we had to work through this session that were introduced by Representative Robbins from Coosa County. The first was a statewide constitutional amendment that dealt with any revenues that we took in from carbon credits. If we sold any carbon credits on the property, that those would go to the counties, not to the state general fund. And then that bill kind of went away, and then he had another one that made it a local constitutional amendment just for Coosa County. But once that started, there was a lot of concern from other senators and representatives that represent other rural counties that were concerned about any revenue that, you know, DeCoosa County getting revenue from something that maybe their county should get revenue from as well. And so it was a little bit of a controversial topic, and it kind of bubbled up on the last day of the session.
Yeah.
One thing that's interesting about the Forever Wild, you know, the issue with Forever Wild is that, you know, no state property pays property taxes. And there's some people that are not really proponents of the Forever Wild program that keep bringing up, you know, the lack of property taxes for some of the rural counties and really just singling out the state property that's owned by Forever Wild. And so we're trying to find a solution that works good for the counties and keeps the program a positive in people's minds and makes the program still sustainable for the future. Because it is, I think the best government program that I've ever been involved in.
Yeah, and I think I probably got ahead of my skis just talking in school with you about this, something you and I talk about. Okay, Forever Wild for people, I mean, that is this funding mechanism, this oversight mechanism for public lands, right, for us here in Alabama.
And it's a great concept. So it takes revenue from the oil and gas exploration, you know, where they're drawing down the oil and gas out of Mobile Bay and the coastal communities, goes into the Alabama Trust Fund. So that's a depleting resource. You know, it's going away over time. Mm-hmm. It takes revenues from that and puts $15 million a year into a fund for the Forever Wild Land Trust Board to acquire property, you know, for public use. And so it's taken, you know, a public resource, gas, natural gas, and using the revenues from that to buy property for the people to be able to use for perpetuity, you know, for forever. And so it's really, the concept of the program is great, and it has been very beneficial to Mobile and Baldwin counties in particular, and what it's provided for public access and protection of some of these properties in the coastal areas that once they're developed or are changed, you know, you'll never be able to get those back, and the public will never have access to those. And so it's a great program. We've got about 100,000 acres in the Mobile Tensaw Delta, you know, 26,000 acres along the Grand Bay Savannah in South Mobile County, and the property along the Perdido River in eastern Baldwin County, along with, you know, property in the Splinter Hill Bog in North Baldwin County. So, I mean, there's places that people are, and in the Perdido Wildlife Management Area, a little bit further north in Baldwin County. So those are great places that people can hunt. fish and pike, at no cost to them because of the program. And so it's really a good benefit to the public, and we're trying to find a way to make some of the legislators comfortable with it moving forward so that we can continue to do good work.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, and though if y'all haven't gotten on some of the newer tracks, like when the commissioner and I grew up, it was like you know, the W.O. Holland management area there in the Delta, but you know, Upper Delta, like you talked about, and Splitter Hill Bog, and that new I guess one of the newer ones, the stuff over at Perdido WMA. You got some great stuff going on for us here in South Alabama. So not as big of an issue though, right? When you look at Baldwin County, look at Mobile County, right? The tax receipts are all right in those counties. So the argument is, like, from a Coosa County is, hey, you know, we're a poor county, and when land goes into Forever Wild or Public Trust, we don't get the property tax from it. Is that the argument they made? That was the ask?
It is, and it is a real problem in some of those rural counties, Coosa County in particular. There's not a lot of industry there. There's some coming. You know, the governor was up there this week on the new graphite plant mm-hmm. that they're building in Coosa County. And I think you're going to start to see some growth. But a rural county like Coosa, what funds their schools and funds their county is a property tax on timberland. And when that was, so they had a concern that if the state was to continue to buy more property through Forever Wild or, you know, through the Wauguka State Forest, which is through the Alabama Forestry Commission, that it would really severely impact their school system and revenue loss. And so it's not that much money right now, but I think they were concerned about future as those programs continue. So I'm working with Senator Clyde Chambliss out of the Elmore County, Coosa County area and Senate Pro Tem Greg Reed is helping us as we try and find a solution that I can take to the Forever Wild Board. And hopefully we can make the counties happy and replace some of that revenue that they're losing by those properties not being held by timber companies or individuals, being held by the state, and that we can continue to do good work and provide public access all around the state.
Yeah, and that's a whole a very important discussion. And y'all have done a great job over the years adding more public access out there. But this is good. The idea here, basically, and so for y'all to know, because being the commissioner of DCNR, he's also on the Forever Wild Land Trust board for our guest. So y'all are offering, I like this, the good old-fashioned idea of a compromise, right? That a way to help these counties out, but not undo the system of Forever Wild. Am I close to how you're phrasing this?
You are. You're very, very close. It's you know, the art of compromise sometimes for the greater good is you know, what's missing sometimes in government or in our society. You know, mm-hmm. You know, looking at it, you know, trying to look at it from somebody else's shoes, and I see the difficulties they have in some of those black belt or rural counties, and also don't. Going to be a constitutional amendment that's on the ballot every few years to try and make changes to where the money goes, whether it goes to the general fund or the counties. So we just feel like this was the best solution to try and find something that works fairly well for everybody. And like I said, so we can continue just to do good work from now and into the future.
Okay, so the program, Commissioner, works. I was reading, I think, in on Todd's website, it said the payments would amount to between $200,000 and $300,000 statewide. Is that kind of the numbers you're looking at?
Hey, that sounds about right. You know, we're working right now to look at, you know, every county is so different in the property tax. Mm-hmm. You have the property tax portion for the county. You have it for the school system. You have what we call current use tax is how timberland is valued. And there's a value per acre for counties, or really for each parcel, whether that's good for growing timber, average for growing timber, or poor for growing timber. And then each school system, a city school or certain districts, may have a different millage rate. So it's an extremely complicated system to try and look at altogether, but we're trying to find something that's a good average. And so that you know, we can do this very simply once a year to be able to do this and hopefully have something to present to the Forever Wild Board at their meeting on May the 5th.
And that would be, is that how, and so if presented in front of, at this May meeting, in front of Forever Wild Board, and the trustees say yes, then the deal is done? Or does it have to go back? Or what's next? Or is it a...
Yeah, well, I think, you know, if the depending on the, how the board, you know, feels about the proposal, and I think that we can do it either at the May meeting, and they may have a lot of questions and you know, some things they may want to bring back, some clarifications on certain things. The next meeting is in August, and but I do think in short order we'll be able to work this out and have something that the counties could receive some fee or revenue probably starting the next fiscal year.
Good deal. I do appreciate the idea of compromise and sides working together on this. Have to get you back on soon, Commissioner. I mean, you and I got to, the two of us got to talk some snappers sometime before the 27th, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you for having me. Thank you for highlighting the governor coming to town today. She's been a great supporter of South Alabama, and I love to have her down here.
Hey, side note, this might get you in trouble, but I have to ask a question. Has the governor ever gone fishing? Could you take Governor Ivy snapper fishing?
I have not taken a snapper fishing, but she loves to fish. She loves to catch the bass fish, for sure. So I bet she would like to catch some of those snapper, too, if we had the chance to go.
Let's set it up. We'll get it done. It's always a pleasure talking with you, and we'll get you back soon. Commissioner of DCNR for the state of Alabama, Chris Blankenship, thanks.
Thank you.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Just a couple minutes here, and we'll get to Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Lots to talk about with him. And I thought that was interesting. I've been following that bill and then the compromise around that bill because I'm a big proponent of Forever Wild. But yeah, if you're to turn around and say, if you were in Coosa County and you depend so much on you know, private land tax base, right? Which is not huge for timber in our state. I mean, it's low, but you're dependent on it. And here comes the state and buys big swaths of public land, which I'm a fan of. Okay, so once again, this binary world that I'm a fan of it. I'm a big proponent of Forever Wild. Have fought for that over the years, but at least there is some argument to be made. Is hey, you know, if I'm a Coosa County, I'm not Mobile or Baldwin County, but I'm a Coosa County. I only have so much revenue, and then that goes away. There ought to be some kind of mechanism without challenging, you know, the lands being in public trust, some way to compensate those counties. Now, could this get out of control? Sure, it could. It's Montgomery, you know, but at least specifically for that rural county and some money to help them for schools and all that, because dollars being taken away from the tax base, I think it's a fair discussion and good on them for finding a compromise in the mix. Yes, also, speaking of Earth Day today, Tom Rouse is going to join me here in a little bit. We'll talk about some recycling. You know, recycling is a thing that goes round and round with the amount of things recycled out there. You know, one of the things that will drive some metal recycling is the price of metals right now, right? See, yes, because I'm controlling the world like with marionette strings. I've been watching aluminum prices and stocking up my cans. That's a good thing to recycle. A lot of other things out there. Are they worth recycling? We'll talk about that as well. It's all straight ahead right here. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. News is next.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Like 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Friday. Glad you're here. By the way, too, I've been following since last night, of course, that story. It's got a lot of traffic on our Facebook. I guess I shouldn't say traffic. It's got a lot of attention over on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, about the semi that ran off. I'm going to set this question up for you. We can talk about it on the text line and on the phone line, and I'll talk about it with my friend Dale Leash from Lanyap in just a second. But it's... So from KRG, it says, more details were released after a semi-truck ran off the road and into the water near the Dolly Parton Bridge. That part is good. Some of the reporting yesterday said it was on the Dolly Parton. At what point, I understand the real name of the bridge, but you have the span as well. You have like a, you know, a raised roadway, and then you officially hit the Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton's there. So, because when the story first came out and said that the semi had run off the Dolly Parton bridge, I said, oh, crap. I mean, have you ever worried about that, going across there and thought about, well, oh my gosh, you look down there, that would be a, that would be, quit looking, 10 and 3, drive the car. You ever, I mean, thought about that. But this guy went off at one end, and it says here that the driver, Christopher K. Horn, lost control of the truck and veered off the road into the Tensaw River, which would put it on the east side of that span. That's where the Tensaw is there. And I guess this morning and today they're trying to use records and all that and lift that truck back up, maybe onto the road or a grassy area nearby. I don't know. But just when I saw that story, it's like the stuff I worry about. When they first reported it and said it was off the Dolly Parton Bridge, I said, oh my gosh. And then they showed it and it wasn't. And the guy was taken to the hospital, but he will survive. So it's a good thing. Dale, have you ever been driving across that span and thought about that? Like once you're up top of the Dolly Parton Bridge, like what would happen?
Yeah, I do that and then the Cochran Bridge too. No, I don't like to ride on those if I don't have to. Can I go old man on you? And this is a very New York Timesian opinion of mine. I don't like referring to it in print as the Dolly Parton Bridge on first reference. I think you need to say the General J. whatever. See, I don't even know what it's called.
General W.K. Wilkinson Jr. Bridge.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. You call it that first, and then you're like also known as the Dolly Parton Bridge by locals or whatever. I think calling it the Dolly Parton Bridge would not be the way I would do it, but I know everybody did it because it's just easier. I get it, but my opinion would be to call it by its actual name and then go into. But like I said, that's very pompous and pretentious, and I apologize.
Well, it's you know, you fancy fanciful lads in the world of print where you have all that, but you know, in electronic media, we're trying to explain it like at first blush, you know, like so. I mean, I get the debate,
the confusion of calling the whole span. I understand the confusion of calling the whole span of Dolly Parton Bridge because I went to high school in Bay Minette, and so like whenever if we went. Somewhere, you know, I don't think we did too many field trips in high school, but I remember driving across it to Mobile a lot, and I just remember calling the whole thing Dolly Parton. I get what you're saying, though. The actual bridge itself should be the one with the two humps should
right.
be Dolly Parton Bridge, and the rest is just like a causeway. I get that.
Now we're delving into some inside stuff here, which is worth hey, this is what this show's all about. It's worth discussing.
Yeah.
A lot to get into here, and we'll talk about how folks can get signed up for Lanyap and pick up a copy themselves. Back to the something that you and I do talk about what goes on with the city of Mobile and government. And I want to get into this. So it's a minimum wage question because there's been so much discussion with y'all and on this show with city officials that more focused on the raising the pay for public safety, specifically the police department. That's been talked about. Then I saw this story, minimum wage increased to $15.22 for city of Mobile employees. So is this is overall, this is everybody, all departments, or how's this work?
Yeah, that would be anybody who is working a minimum wage job for the city. And I don't think there are many city employees that would be working a minimum wage job. But this would apply to anybody who works for the city and makes minimum wage. Their pay would go up to $15.22.
Now, does that have any effect? Like sometimes there'll be stories out and say, okay, there's some structure built in that if minimum wage comes up to this, then it pushes everything up. You know what I'm talking about? I've seen it at a federal level.
I don't think this is a situation like that. I don't think I've asked that question specifically. That would be a really bad, you're right. That does happen where people write themselves a raise and then kind of sneak it past us. That, I don't think that's the case here. So I think this is just for the minimum wage employees. Employees in general have been getting raises pretty regularly under the Spence administration, if you'll recall. And so I don't think this is a way to increase overall pay more, because they like to announce those too. They don't like to keep that secret.
Right.
So I don't think that's the case in that regard, no.
All right. Speaking of the city as well, so on Wednesday, it was, if you hadn't heard, it was 420. And at 420, there was a celebration, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is y'all's cover story, of course, Green State. Local 420 celebrations show cannabis moving into the mainstream. Dale, mm-hmm. let's talk about this. I mean, if we'd gone back, let me be cliche, we time machine back a decade and somebody told you they're going to have a 420 fest in downtown Mobile, would you have said, well, I wonder how many paddy wagons will be there to pick people up? I mean, it seems like a change.
Yeah. I can remember, like, 10 years ago, I would have been 27, almost 28. So that, you know, I remember talking about, you know, you had states that were, 10 years ago, what was it, Colorado went recreational? I remember mm-hmm. talking about to people about whether that would actually ever happen in Alabama. And I didn't even think we'd get to the point where we had medical marijuana legalized, and that's legalized now. So it really is quite astonishing to think about how far we've come in 10 years. And not just Alabama, the entire country. I mean, we're like the, what was it? What is it? 46 states, 36 states, something like that. A very large number of states have medical cannabis laws already. So, you know, it's all over the country. It's really picking up steam. And like you said, having Bienville Square filled up with people for a 420 festival, where you've got blunt rolling contests and all kinds of samples and stuff. It's truly remarkable how far we've come.
Now, another part, you report on this, and y'all can check this out in the new issue of Lanyap, is this Delta 8 question. And that's, mm-hmm. and you have a, like, okay, out of the CBD world, there's all kind of different CBDs I've learned, but there's a lot of attention for Delta 8. Is it that it's stronger CBD, and then there's Delta 9 or 10? What's the story with those and why they're so popular versus other CBD products? I mean, and is this where they're going to go after shutting things down?
Right, and that's a good question. You know, Delta 8 is a different variety of THC that's derived from hemp, right? So it's kind of a legal marijuana, because it's not something that was covered under current marijuana laws. The Delta 9 was your more traditional marijuana. And then I guess some places say they have Delta 10 too. So I'm not super familiar with that product. But with Delta 8, yeah, you get more of a traditional marijuana high from Delta 8 than you would from your typical CBD stuff. That's really low concentration of THC. It's a stronger product, and I think that's why people are gravitating towards it. You know, it's legal, so therefore you're not breaking any laws, but also you get a similar, you know, a similar feeling on it. At least I do. And then, you know, as far as I don't think I got into that much with my story in the cover story. I did touch on a little bit, but that's really where hemp farmers in Alabama, that's where they're making all their money now, right? Is with Delta 8 products and CBD products. Because hemp itself has pretty much hit rock bottom as far as prices go. So you know, you're in a situation where if you went and made it illegal now, you'd have to go and basically shut down the hemp program for the state. And you've already got a large number of farmers who have kind of invested in equipment and stuff to do all this hemp work, and they'd have to kind of, you know, start completely over with something new. So there are far-reaching implications to a Delta 8 ban, and I think that's why you didn't really see it get out of, I mean, it didn't get out of committee. It was introduced right in the Senate, and it didn't move, and it's going to be really hard. The further away we get from legalizing medical cannabis, the harder it's going to be to kind of police some of this Delta 8 stuff if you're the legislature. So I think this was the year they were going to do it. They didn't do it. I think it's just going to get harder from now on. So I think we're here. Hopefully it's here to stay, but we'll see.
Yeah, and just joining us, talking to Dale Leish with Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, about the 420 celebration. And so it's put together by the owner of Canabama, Jennifer Boozer, has a show here Monday nights on FM Talk 106.5. And talking to her when this first came up, she said, "You're going to love this." I said, "What?" And she said, "There's going to be a political discussion." I said, "Okay, well, maybe there is something for me there." So you have, and you've talked about some of that too. Discussion of legalization or is decriminalization, right? I mean, that was part of this discussion that happened on Wednesday.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's a big part of the cover story as well. But there was a panel discussion with experts over legalization, decriminalization, stuff like that at the 420 Festival. It was,
gubernatorial candidate.
We've got Republicans now. We've got Republicans running for office on a pro marijuana platform.
Yeah, Dave
truly,
Thomas.
Like you talk about 10 years ago, it's truly it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and the medical marijuana bill was a Republican bill, Senator Melson's bill. I mean, so yeah, right. this is bipartisan.
Right. No, it's definitely there's a bipartisan effort going on, and there's also, I mean, because I think people see the people on both sides of the aisle see the benefits and see the arguments for why it's important and why it needs, you know, at least from a medical situation. And then you've got that story that we're talking about. Check it out. It's on the front cover. It's part of my Green State series. You're going to see stories throughout the year where I talk about marijuana, Delta 8, hemp farming, stuff like that. It's called Green State. This was the first cover story. This is the third installment of the series altogether. But I also talked to our local DA candidates about decriminalizing marijuana, because the mayor's office attempted to basically decriminalize marijuana, make it a ticketable offense rather than an arrestable offense in 2017, and it didn't really go anywhere because of state law and at the time some issues within the DA's office. So I asked the local DA's DA candidates how they feel about it, and the answers were kind of surprising. You have three candidates, two Republicans and a Democrat. You had one Republican who seemed to be all for it, one who was a little bit more apprehensive about it, and then the Democrat who thought it was a good idea as long as it was within state law. So it kind of runs the gamut there. You guys should check it out.
Yeah, the decriminalization thing, it's kind of always bothered me because I'm such a rule of law kind of person, right? Either make it illegal or illegal, right? It's illegal, but it's not going to be enforced. That's my pushback. It really wasn't on the substance of it, but it's the this kind of purgatory where you are. Is it legal or not?
You don't really want an in between, and I understand that. At the same time, though, I think it's important to realize that the amount of time you could save an officer for a minor marijuana arrest. Although your argument, if you made it legal, you wouldn't worry about it anyway. They wouldn't even have to give a ticket. So I get your point there. But at some point, you're wasting time, you know, booking a nonviolent drug offender when you could be out on the streets, you know, stopping responding to a shooting or something like that. And I think that is the argument that is starting to win people over. Whether we'll get to that point in the state, I don't know. I would have told you 10 years ago we wouldn't be here. So, anything's possible, I guess.
That's for sure. Talk to folks. This series, of course, they need to check out. But every day with LanyapMobile.com, and then, of course, once a week with the printed word. Talk about getting a copy, getting signed up.
If you're, let's say you're on vacation in Cocoa Beach and you're enjoying the beach, you're enjoying the sun and the pool, you know, you're on spring break and you're there and the paper comes out and you're just not in Mobile, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to go to, you know, you're going to have a digital subscription by going to landyapmobile.com, and you're going to subscribe, and then you just, you know, you get your phone out, you read all the latest news and breaking news and even the digital version of the paper, which is what I did. So do that, be like me, get a subscription, and always have your news within arm's reach.
Perfect. Y'all see why I'm buddies with Dale Leish. He is there on vacation, and he decided that he would pick up the phone and talk to me. And I appreciate that. And I'll
let you get back to
vacation. Dale, as always, man, thanks. We'll talk when you get back. Have a good time. Don't get too sunburned. All right. There he is. Dale Leish. Yeah, checking in from vacation. How about that? And we'll be right back. We're checking in from our studios at Airport 65. It's Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Okay, well, we'll get to the text line here in just a minute. Right now, I want y'all to say hello to my friend, David McCrary, LCM Motor Cars, and you said you got a special F-150 on the lot you want to talk about.
We do. Sean, we do really good with regular cab trucks, and this is a 2011 F-150 four-wheel drive regular cab with a short bed, so it's not a work truck. It's got a lot of eyeball. It's got a 4-inch lift on it that was done right. It's got Fox suspension up underneath it, fender well flares, bed liner, silver truck, and it is very, very nice.
Sounds like a fun truck, a weekend truck for sure.
Absolutely.
What about financing? How's it looking out there?
Financing is great. We had some folks come in this morning, take delivery of vehicle that were having some problems finding a place to get approved, and they had all the things they needed, and they were here for probably about 45 minutes tops, picking out the vehicle and everything.
All right, that's getting it done. Tell folks how to find you to check out all the inventory and talk financing.
We're on the corner of Plantation and Highway 90 in Theodore. You can go to our website at lcmmotorcars.com or give us a call at 251-375-0068.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, buddy.
There he is, David McCrary from LCM Motor Cars. Yeah, it's if it wasn't for, I mean, the single cab truck, I had one of those. It's just the children. I need to go home and tell my children, you've messed this up for me. The days of the single, that all went away. All right, to the text line, 343-0106. Bill, good point. I hadn't had those folks back in a while either. Bill says, please give a plug for Ransom Ministries Electronic Recycling. It's for a good cause, and they accept anything that has a cord, except for TVs. As Bill, I know that because it's written on the sign there. Drop off at Mobile County Recycle Center on Hit Road or at the Chickasaw location. Yeah, there's good, and I think it's incumbent upon municipalities, which Mobile County's done a pretty good job, Baldwin County, to let them know where the recycling centers are, where people don't get tempted to just, when you're in the country and you see people riding around, let me tell you, the folks that are farmers and all that, we're watching you. If you're riding around in the country with a bunch of stuff in the back of your truck and riding slow and just looking at roads and turnoffs and all that, we're watching you. We know what. There's a place to go. There's a place for recycling. There's a place for a dump. It is not on a dirt road. I don't agree with you. Doesn't Have Meta says the woke crowd now calls it the Beyonce Bridge in honor of her assets. Well, I mean, you could, but you'd have to have a official name change. I don't know if we go through that process. That's the Beyonce Bridge. And it works better because you don't do two names with Beyonce. It's just the one name thing. It's the Dolly Parton Bridge. But yes, the very inside discussion Dale and I were having, it's not the entire, like the whole thing. And I don't know. What is the bridge? To me, the bridge is the big span over the Mobile River where you start to, so at some point when it starts to go up and you're starting to elevate over the raised roadway level, that point, I say you're on the Dolly Parton Bridge. Other people have been arguing from the time you come off of land, then you're on the Dolly Parton Bridge the whole time. I disagree. I'm going to have to be proven that the whole thing is, because I only consider the twin spans, the Partons, to be the Dolly Parton Bridge and the rest of it to be just elevated I-65. Can you beat me on that one? All right. David says, so you're going to book a discount ticket on 420 Airlines once it becomes legal, where the crew is happy all the time. Well, first of all, David, I don't want anybody, and hopefully there would be laws that would prevent people from having anything in their system if they're working, in a cockpit. I know that flight crews are tested all the time. My mother, retired flight attendant, she had a bagel with poppy seeds on it one time. And had that, I think she was flying from France back in the U.S., and they tested them, and they said, oh, you've got poppy in your, which is like related to heroin and all that in your system. And she couldn't figure out why they were flagging her in her test and all this stuff. It turned out she had poppy seed on the bagel. But no, I don't want anybody high or drunk or anything, David, on an airline. And by the way, speaking of airlines, and I don't think we figured this out yesterday, why is Mike Tyson flying? Wasn't it like a JetBlue flight or something, like a discount? I mean, Mike Tyson, which is, he really got after that guy, which I got to tell you, I don't, I mean, seeing some of it, I think they annoyed him to death. I don't think it was the right choice for Tyson, but, you know, it's Mike Tyson, and you're going to talk baloney to him and expect nothing to happen? But why was Tyson on a discount airline? Wouldn't, I mean, at least he'd be in first class or something. It's Mike Tyson. And if you're dumb enough to former heavyweight champion of the world, guy with the face tattoo, he's been arrested and sent to prison. Is he the guy you pick on from behind the seat there on the airplane and expect nothing to happen? Really? All right, hour number two of Midday Mobile. We're coming there next.